listening to Radio Autonomía, Zapatismo in the Bay, here on Berkeley Liberation Radio, 104.1 FM, broadcasting in the East Bay, berkeleyliberationradio.net, broadcasting on the internet. We are back with our third live interview of the day. We're having a very exciting day here in the studio. So we are here with three members of the Bread and Roses Collective here in Oakland, and we wanted to just talk a little bit about the work of this collective, which is a new project that's recently started up here in Oakland, to get a sense of the work that's happening, to invite folks to plug in and participate, and to hear also about an event that's coming up soon. So we thought we would start out just asking y'all to introduce yourselves a little bit and tell us a little bit about the story of this new collective called Bread and Roses, and maybe a little bit about the name Bread and Roses, why you chose this name for the collective.
Cool. So I'm Flo, and I was one of the group of people who has kind of started Bread and Roses. And I guess in terms of talking about our name, we drew our inspiration from the Bread and Roses strike, which happened in Lawrence, Massachusetts, in like over 100 years ago. And it was a strike of textile workers, and it was unique for the time in terms of who was participating in it, and that it was people from a variety of backgrounds and cultures, as well as a lot of women and children who were employed in the textile industry, were doing that organizing and were getting out in the streets. And a lot of kind of what Bread and Roses is focused on is the kind of caregiving work that has traditionally been women's work, centering around families and communities. And so we were really inspired by that action.
So I'm Lauren, and I'm also one of the founding members of the Bread and Roses Collective. And I think kind of drawing on what Flo was saying, we're really inspired by kind of the underside of a lot of political action and what goes on behind the scenes. And one thing that we talk about a lot in Bread and Roses is that every struggle has been supported by people doing care work. And we really want to centralize that work and make it a part of a conversation. Unfortunately, that type of work is often an afterthought, you know, not something that's generally worth mentioning when political history is written, and you know, I find that really problematic. And so by centralizing that type of work, we hope to create stronger movements and stronger communities that are able to engage in radical struggle.
Hi, I'm Laura, and I work with the Bread and Roses Mental Health Working Group. And what we're trying to do in that group specifically is make care for mental health and self-care a community effort and a community process, because as it stands now in a lot of our communities, we leave it to the individual, and that can end up being very isolating, especially when you're dealing with mental illness such as depression, anxiety, trauma. So we want to do that and also use that to draw a broader political analysis and think about how we can use caring for our mental health as an anti-rep tool, an anti-repression tool, to build a stronger community that's better able to resist the state.
Excellent. Well, that was a great introduction. So we'd love to hear also about how this collective came together, and specifically the kind of organizing work and experiences locally that led to the formation of this collective here in Oakland. Because I imagine that there's probably inspiration drawn from other experiences in other places, but sort of why this collective here and why now?
So I think it started kind of with a conversation between Lauren and I about things that had been going on in the past year and our previous organizing experience and things that we do outside of strictly political spheres. Both of us were kind of involved in Occupy Oakland and things through that, and I think we had experiences about a year ago about you know, there was all of this stuff going on, and people were experiencing a lot of hardships and a lot of trauma, and there wasn't really a support system in place, and we were really appreciative of kind of ways that individual smaller communities were being able to take care of each other, but also noticed the ways that those communities can get tapped out really easily, and were talking about, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if there was this organization that could provide some of that care work or help people to provide that care work. I know that both of us also work in the broader care industry, I guess, in terms of our day job. So I work in an elementary school in the after-school program, and I'm a nanny and have over 10 years of experience working with little kids. So I think there's a lot of that. A lot of our collective work also focuses on children and families and trying to make political organizing and radical spaces more welcoming for children and families. And then, Lauren, I don't know if you want to talk about your work. Sure. And how that relates.
So I think that what Flo said really rings true kind of in the present moment, and then also kind of speaks to kind of this larger personal history that I have of doing trauma work and also doing caregiving work, working in with people that are marginally housed or experiencing homelessness, and that I think that oftentimes my political work and that other and caregiving work has been seen in two different spheres, and there hasn't been a lot of overlap, although there is a lot of need. But it's oftentimes what we've found and what I've experienced from being in the Bay and being a part of political communities in the Bay is that those needs are not prioritized, and they're not kind of seen as a way to do political work in this very narrow sense. And so when you start to get into people's lives, when you start to form true solidarity with people, you oftentimes find, and I've often found, that there is a great need for care and for caregiving and for building a true sense of solidarity. And so I think that the experiences over the past year of Occupy Oakland and kind of past political work in the Bay has really led to the necessity of the political point we're at, where a lot of people are, quite frankly, exhausted, are burned out, are looking for ways to kind of maintain their political ideas, but also, having to be in touch with other parts of their lives. And so we wanted to kind of merge all of those experiences, and that's what led to, forming a collective, and by forming a, public political group that could address these questions.
So I really loved in the a flyer that came through my hands, right, of about Bread and Roses, that the project is described as an act of mutual aid. And I think that, rather than saying this is a collective that does this or this is about these issues, that saying that it is an act, right? It's the project is imagined as a practice. So I was hoping you could talk a little bit about what mutual aid is. It's one of those phrases that we hear but isn't always explained. And why mutual aid and care work, which perhaps you could also define a little bit for us, is so important in radical organizing, both at times of heightened repression, which we saw recently, but not so much right now, and also in quieter times, both times of heightened repression and also heightened mobilization, but also sort of lulls in political organizing.
So we define mutual aid as a relationship in which every person is both a giver and receiver of in acts of care, and so that these acts of care kind of bind them together into a social fabric that creates a community. So this is in contrast to kind of the hierarchy of charity, which is unfortunately what we see in a lot of care work. It's certainly very evident in the type of social structure that's put out by the state that kind of tries to mimic the needs that a community has, but often fails and reproduces hierarchies and furthers the reach of the state. And so we wanted to kind of work towards the capacity to provide real alternatives to these kind of failed methods that we saw. And so I think that as we are in, what could be described as kind of like a quieter moment, although that's obviously up for discussion, is that we find that mutual aid, that care work, is less politically sexy. It's not as dramatic. It's not necessarily, being in the streets or fighting these, very tangible kind of threats to our community. But in another way, it's kind of the nitty gritty of movement building. It's the nitty gritty of community building. And so that we wanted to bring this up in kind of this political moment because there seemed to be time and space to kind of create these deep networks of solidarity. And so I think that the most kind of one of the most poignant examples that comes to mind is with kind of the recent grand juries that have been going on in the Pacific Northwest and also in the Bay. And so what we've heard and kind of experienced is that there's this real call and need for community. Is that what community is what will not only keep us safe, but will help people to be able to resist these interventions into our lives. And so that we wanted to build this in this moment, so when there are more things happening, that base is there and that strength is there.
This is Laura, and I just wanted to add that something that people who maybe aren't from the Bay don't really know is that the state totally has mutual aid and uses it against us all of the time. And so it's when the police are banding together, like multiple cities, multiple counties, which is becoming a pretty normalized situation, even in daily life in Oakland especially, we need to be able to work together and be strong to counteract that. So this is why I'm personally really excited about this project.
I think it's really important that you bring that up because that is one of the places that, you know, some audiences might be more familiar with the concept of mutual aid, you know, when they deploy mutual aid to address or attack a protest, for example. You know, that's one thing that we've seen over and over again in, like you say, in these sort of big political mobilizations, but also I think you're totally on point in saying that in Oakland it's becoming part of the day-to-day strategy of the state. So, I think it's important to think about how mutual aid is something that we develop from our side in obviously very different ways and for different ends. So I'd love to also talk a little bit about some of the ways that in your work, in your political work, you've seen care work relegated as secondary to other kinds of political organizing, and specifically maybe talking about certain aspects of care work. So beyond just saying care work and thinking about really sort of nitty-gritty, as you say, elements of what make up care work, and why that points to a need to sort of politicize care work and bring it to the forefront.
I think that there are several reasons, and one of them is kind of what Lauren was saying about it being less politically sexy or politically glamorous. It doesn't have the same kind of appeal for people who are, with good reason, extremely angry. It doesn't, you know, come to mind to be, I'm so pissed off about this horrible thing that's happening, I'm gonna, like, go cook dinner. It doesn't have that same feel as being out in the streets and doing this more overt political action that is going on, but it's equally necessary and can be incredibly vital for those people who are doing that overt in the streets kind of work to have that basis for anything that they're doing. Everybody needs to eat. Everybody needs to have their basic needs met, whether those are mental health needs or just one of the things we were talking about in terms of why it's called Bread and Roses, one of their initial ideas was this emphasis on not only needing the basis for survival of food, but also beauty and joy. And so we wanted to make sure that not only were people's baseline needs being met through, you know, like caffeine and staying up and trying to do as much as possible, but also making sure that people's lives have joy and meaning, and that those things are equally important and that don't get talked about. And then there's a lot of the work that is seen as secondary, I think, because of its traditional realm as being like women's work and work in the home. So a lot of stuff about cooking and about childcare has traditionally been relegated to people who are behind the scenes. But as Lauren was saying earlier, any revolution you've ever looked at in history, those people all ate. Those people had kids who were taken care of, and that somebody was doing that work. Mm-hmm. And we want that to be celebrated and important as a part of that struggle, that there's never a struggle without that work happening. So we wanted that to be kind of the forefront of organizing, or one of the forefronts of organizing, is showing how important that work is, and that the people who are doing that are as vital to the struggle as anybody who's in the street.
Yeah, and I think that this connects to the next question that we had in mind, which was how do you think that efforts like Bread and Roses, which really emphasize, again, the centrality of care work and mutual aid to any political organizing, how these kinds of efforts might have the possibility of challenging capitalism, patriarchy, white supremacy in ways that other organizing efforts might not or might overlook. So sort of what the particular challenges posed are.
Something that we've been speaking a lot with, especially with the Mental Health Collective, is how, especially when we're all fighting against, like, very clear targets, and we have very clear targets, we know who our enemies are, but in that process, people can fall into replicating capitalist logic. People need to be productive, people need to focus on the goal and push themselves to make the meetings, do the risky actions, whatever. And we can, along with that capitalist logic, replicate sexist, misogynist, white supremacist structures by not paying attention to who's doing which kind of work, making anyone who protests some sort of conflict, be it sexual assault, racist structures and hierarchies or interactions that happen. By making those seem irrational or counterproductive to this end goal of fighting, we actually like lose out on building a stronger resistance.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's important about it is that one of the things for this constant feeling of fighting something is that you can lose sight of what you're fighting for. And I think that one of the great things about this community building work and the caregiving work is we're seeking to build something, to have this alternative system of taking care of each other that's in place for, you know, we have all of these things that we clearly don't like, and we're fighting really hard against them, but we want to make sure that we have something that we're fighting for, that we have this community that we care about and these systems in place that, you know, if amazing things happen and this capitalist system we live in doesn't exist anymore, we want to have the world that we're dreaming of be potentially there. We want these things to be made tangible in our day-to-day lives, even while we are continuing that struggle. We want that world that we are dreaming of to be, you know, part of our daily lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think working from the daily, right, is one of the best ways to do that. So how is the collective organized? Are there working groups? What kind of projects are there? And what kind of challenges are you all facing in building this new effort?
So the broader collective meets as a way to build community, first and foremost. A lot of our meetings and discussions like center around food and center around kind of both structured and unstructured time together to allow people time and space to get to know each other while simultaneously building a political community. And that's really, really important. That's something that we wanted to emphasize in our structures, is having space for people to get to know each other, not just on a political level, but also on a social and communal level. So beyond that, the collective is structured into working groups, and those working groups have a lot of projects going on and have kind of become their own entities within the larger collective. Two of our most active working groups are the Children and Families Collective and also the Mental Health Collective, and even using the broader collective meetings as kind of a report back space. The projects that are being worked on are really far-reaching. You know, the Mental Health Group is working on putting on an event in a couple weeks. The Children's Collective is working on creating care calendars as a way for families and caregivers to kind of organize childcare, you know, building materials for radical spaces as ways to be open and friendly to children. So these things kind of have a life of their own, but is all kind of organized around these same structural elements that kind of bind us together politically. And so there is a lot of collaboration that goes goes on, and there's also kind of a lot of fun that happens, you know. It's really great for me as someone that doesn't have children to go to meetings and to see kids not only participating in the meetings, but enjoying the people that are there, you know, laughing, doing crafts, you know, running around being silly. And then also simultaneously being able to have, you know, serious political discussion that doesn't exclude kind of the various ways that people come to political spaces.
Great. So you mentioned an event that's coming up in March. From what I understand, it's an event called Radicalizing Mental Health. And so perhaps we can take this as an opportunity both to talk about the event, but also about what a radical approach to mental health looks like and what this event will be about, and sort of put a call out there.
So the event will be on March 2nd from 2 to 5 at The Holdout. It's going to be a panel. We'll have time for questions and answers. We'll have food. We'll have childcare. And we're working on actually putting together an event for the kids to separately have their own workshop on mental health. We'll have a few speakers. The ones we have confirmed right now will have a brief history of radical mental health work. We'll have two people who are both psychologists working with hospitals in Oakland, and one will be speaking on depathologizing mental health, so taking mental health issues out of the medical context and giving it a social context, which is part of our broader collective's push towards like taking mental health and making a political analysis of it. And then the other mental health worker who will be speaking will be talking about what actually happens when you go through a mental health process with the state, what that looks like, which I think is important for everyone to know, like, what's happening. We also have a few other speakers that we're trying to confirm, someone who will talk about mental health and anti-repression, someone who will be talking about trauma, and this is actually only the beginning. It's sort of like a coming out as our big first event, but we plan on doing monthly events that are similar but on a smaller scale and more topic focused. So we won't cover everything in this first event, but we're looking to do things about more events in the future about women, sexual assault, people of color, and how mental health issues work differently, especially in this white supremacist culture that we have. What else do we have on tap? We have so many great ideas, mental health in the prison industrial complex, all of that kind of stuff. So.
Great. So again, that's March 2nd at 2 p.m. at The Holdout, which is at 2313 San Pablo, and we will announce that again at the end of the show. So if there's anything else you want to add now, and also just to give some information about how folks can get involved, how they can get in touch with y'all to learn more and to actually participate in the collective and the projects.
So I think the easiest way to kind of learn a little bit more about us is to see our website, which is www.breadandrosesoakland.tumblr.com. And we've got kind of some of our initial flyers and call-out information, as well as links to our meeting calendar and our email, should be on there for folks who are interested in getting more involved. Our monthly collective meetings and potlucks are open to anybody, so we would strongly encourage people who are interested to just come by and meet people and hang out and hear what's going on.
Okay. And do the location of the meetings and potlucks, does that vary? Is that something to check in on the calendar?
Yeah, that's different every month, so it should be up on there.
Great.
And so just kind of to another thing to kind of add in is one of the most amazing thing that's been happening since this collective started is that people have been bringing things to the collective that have been happening in their lives, you know, needs that are real in their communities that they are looking for support for. And so I think that one of the greatest things that the Red and Roses Collective can do is to put that information out there and to kind of create a way to share and then to also have this amazing group of people that are more than willing to step up and to kind of provide, you know, food, childcare, emotional support. And so I just encourage people to kind of see what needs are kind of out there in their communities. And we don't propose that the Bread and Roses Collective will take on every need in every community. But what we do hope to do is empower people and provide skill sets and infrastructure to be able to kind of do care work and to provide solidarity in their own communities. And so we hope to continue that information sharing, and we really invite folks to come and participate in whatever way they see fit.
Great. Well, thank you all so much. It's been really awesome to have the Bread and Roses Oakland Collective, some members here today with us in the studio. We encourage everybody to check out the upcoming event and the info online about this project. So thanks again. We're going to